listening to the Loving BDSM podcast. Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the you were totally shirtless and I was playing with your nipples, John Brownstone.
You were, and I was.
It was delightful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it as good for you as it was
for me? It was, absolutely.
That's all that matters. That's not what we're talking about this week. This week we're actually talking about pervertibles.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. So, yeah. I don't know. How do I segue? I'm not good at segues. We've had this conversation before. Welcome to the Loving BDSM podcast. If you're new here and this is your first time listening, yes, it's like this all the time. And if you didn't know, we help kinksters like you have happy, healthy power exchange relationships. Add the podcast to your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. And if you'd like us to answer your question in a future one of these, we have a contact page called Ask Your Questions on our website at lovingbdsm.net. That's lovingbdsm.net. Or you can find it in the show notes for this episode. Okay, this person's question is totally like short and to the point.
All right, here we go.
I am on a budget. Can I use these items in my home for BDSM? Dining chair. I'll fit hooks on front legs for sex chair. Plastic spatula for spanking. Eye mask as an O-ring ball gag as my girlfriend likes giving oral sex. And can a yoga mat be used for BDSM sex positions?
Wow.
The first thing to know is if you've got stuff at home that you're looking at, like, can I get kinky with this? The answer is usually yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there are some things you might have to consider, but in general, yes.
Right.
So let's go through this person's specific things.
Okay.
The dining chair as a sex chair.
Sure.
Because you are better at, like, the bondage-y things and the hooky things than I am, does the structure of the chair matter? Like, is the legs or the size?
Absolutely. To a certain extent, it does.
Are you going to get better results if your chair has armrests?
It depends what you're looking to do.
Okay.
Okay. If a chair has armrests, absolutely. You can tie the arms in a resting position on the armrest. Mm-hmm. If there is no armrest, but you have an open back, you can tie the arms down to the side.
Okay.
Against the back.
If you're not somebody who knows how to do rope bondage yet, or just isn't comfortable even with a basic box tie, what are ways that aren't bondage, or, you know, rope bondage, to secure a person to something like a dining room chair?
Belt.
Belt, okay. I know you love to have pieces of Velcro around here.
Mm-hmm.
Would that, assuming the Velcro is strong enough and long enough, could that do as well?
I would think so.
I mean, I'm trying to think in the realm of pervertibles.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely it would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can go to Home Depot or Lowe's and, you know, buy a roll of a Velcro strap.
And it's not terribly expensive.
No, it's not.
And it's reusable for other things around your house.
Absolutely.
Once
you cut it to length, I mean, you've got it for that purpose.
Right. Okay, so I'm so excited for this question. I forgot. Let's real quick define what a pervertible is for somebody who's, like, completely new to the concept. How would you define pervertible?
Something that is basically an everyday use item that is then taken and used for purpose of BDSM.
There you go. And it's really that simple. Is literally anything around your house that you can go into a Walmart, a Home Depot or Lowe's, or any kind of a Dollar Tree. Like, you don't even have to spend a lot of money, but it's a non-kink item we are repurposing for kinky fuckery.
Right.
And the nice thing about non-kink items being used that way is that they can slide under the radar. People aren't going to look at your dining room chair and go, oh, that's clearly used for a sex chair. Unless you leave your hooks and your bondage items the chair, then you're giving yourself away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one, and I think we're both completely on board with this, plastic spatula for spanking.
Oh, yeah.
I think anything with a flat surface and a handle is going to be just fine.
Spatula, wooden spoon, anything like that,
You can even, if we're in the kitchen and we're pulling out items to try to use for whatever kink play you've got, you can use something like a fork. Would be great for sensation play.
Yes, I was going to say that. You know, I have played with tongs. sometimes. You know, you can get a little grabby.
My boobs with tongs. Yeah. I'm like, no, what is happening? Yeah. And that's not even like in scene. I'm just trying to cook dinner, and somebody grabbed the tongs and went clack 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 at me. And I'm not usually wearing a bra, so they're there to be, you know.
Truth.
So yeah, the way I look at impact play stuff, if you can look at an object and it has either enough of a flat surface or something that allows you to hold it and hit somebody with it, it can be an impact item. The things you mm-hmm. want to be careful of, it's anything with a blade or a very yeah. sharp end, because now, you know, we're looking at potentially cutting somebody, and that might not be the kind of kinky play mm-hmm. you want. Okay, this one gives me pause because I can't envision it. And that's an eye mask as an O-ring ball gag. The way I look at it is, if you can manipulate it with enough around a person's body and it works for the purpose, then it works for the purpose. Go ahead.
Are you sure that eye mask is an O-ring?
Yes. I copy and paste straight from the question.
Okay, because there is a comma there.
Right. There's a comma after dining chair, comma, I will blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we're getting a grammar lesson on how mm-hmm. we do our... Yes, this is the order of.
Okay, right. All right.
And if I got it wrong and misinterpreted the question, that is lifted from the email, then the person needs to let me know. But yes,
mm-hmm.
and now eye mask is a blindfold? Absolutely.
And that's what I immediately right. thought of, yeah.
But an O-ring ball gag... Now, an okay. O-ring ball gag in general, if you own it, of course, use it. But yeah, we're talking about
you can,
stuff I have at home.
Yeah. You can go to, again, any hardware store and buy an O-ring.
And then what? Like, do your Velcro straps?
do Velcro straps or ribbon or anything to bring it back and right. tie it back. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I could not envision... what mm-hmm. the person is envisioning. But my yeah. point is, if you can manipulate the thing
yeah.
to make it do what you want to do, and it does not cause unwelcome harm or pain to your partner, yeah. then go for it. My brain is not imagining it. Eye mask as blindfold? Absolutely. Like, that's, yeah. like, that's a given. I guess I would say, if you're going to turn something into a ball gag, just be careful, mindful of... the material, make sure it's clean before somebody mm-hmm. has to put their mouth on it. And make sure you know if your partner has any sensitivities to any certain materials that maybe should not touch their skin.
Yeah.
But that would be the only thing I could think of. So then finally, there is, can a yoga mat be used for BDSM sex positions?
I don't see why not.
Here's the thing that I thought of. It was okay. actually, because I think most people go, well, of course you can. That's a good question, because I have a cheapy, old as hell yoga mat that slips and slides on carpet. Like, I'll bust my ass just trying to go into, like, downward dog, whatever that pose is called. I'm not mm-hmm. a yoga person. And yet on a hardwood floor, it doesn't slip and slide as much. So if you're going to be on a yoga mat and contorting bodies, make sure it's got the right kind of traction so it does not slide out from under you, because that is how you end up in the ER with an awkward conversation about how did you get this injury? So if you're going to use a yoga mat, and I could see where you might, maybe it makes the floor more comfortable. Maybe it has enough slip and glide that a person can move their body on it better. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing wrong with that. Just check to make sure you're not going to bust your ass, is what I would say.
Yeah.
So those are the specific items this person asked about, but let's talk about pervertibles in general. What other items and ideas have you utilized for pervertibles?
Oh gosh. I mean, a lot of the more common things, like, you know, ping pong paddles, paint stirring sticks.
We broke.
Hairbrush.
Yeah. We definitely broke.
Yeah. You know, yeah, we're a little rough with some of those toys. Mm-hmm. but I mean, they can all be used.
We used our coffee table, which is just a cheapy little IKEA coffee table, as kind of a bondage spanking bench thing one time.
Yes.
I laid over the top of the coffee table face down, and JB tied, now with actual rope, using like rope bondage techniques, tied my arms or wrists to the front, to the legs here, and then my
legs
to the back, other legs, and I was immobilized, and the dog was traumatized. But
yes,
but that was using the table in a way that it's clearly not really designed to be used. So that is an option, of course.
Absolutely. What else? What else?
I mean, it's kind of it's a necessity thing. Like, you don't have money to go out and buy toys. You want to get your kink on, and then it's a little bit of creative thinking. So you look at an item and go, could this be used for something kinky? Probably. I think there are considerations. You have to think about what could the material do against your partner's skin in that. Could it cut them? Could it rub them raw in a way that they don't necessarily want to experience? Yeah. Is it a safe material to maybe put in the body or the mouth or in any orifice of the body? So you have to consider those things.
Sure.
You also have to consider, as we're talking about, we've broken many things in impact play. These items are not necessarily designed for the use, so they are not necessarily going to hold up and last as long. Things like the paint stir sticks from Lowe's, you just have to go request those from the paint counter, so you're not spending any money for that. But a ping pong paddle, you break one, you got to go buy another. And the way I kind of look at it is, assuming your budget permits, once you start breaking pervertibles and they are no longer functional, it is likely time to upgrade.
You've outgrown.
And invest in a single paddle or whatever kind of toy you're trying to,
Now, you know, talking about being on a budget, you know, if you do have a bit of a budget, and this was years ago, there was a group of folks back at our old Munch. They would have a challenge between a certain group of them. After the Munch, there was a gap of time before the dungeon opened and the play party. And their thing was, they go to Dollar Tree, Dollar General, any of the dollar stores, and see what they can find in there to make as a pervertible.
Yes, and sometimes they would have a budget, and sometimes it'd be like, whatever you want to buy, just go see if you can buy things. And sometimes it gets silly, because the imagination might want the item to work, and in reality it's not going to, but the fun is in the trying. I recall one time being there for that, and each person who like played along, I think they had a different budget, but one person only spent like $5. Now, this was when the Dollar Tree was actually everything.
It's a dollar. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But,
you know, it is just a matter of sort of letting your imagination run wild. And if you, if you are the type of person who's like, oh, my imagination's not that good, that is what the internet is for.
Right.
Between FetLife and just any other place where kinky humans gather online, you do a search for pervertibles, somebody's got ideas, and you'll go, oh, I never thought of doing that with that thing. What I've noticed for us, and just other people, especially folks who go, I'm not really that creative, I don't come up with ideas. Once you start seeing the world through a lens of, can I use that in kink? It becomes easier to see other things that way. It's really a matter of gaining the experience of just trying things.
It's one of those things, almost like once you open your eyes to it, you can't unsee it again.
And that I can make things fun. Obviously, if you don't know, we're very biased on buying toys, because JB makes toys, we sell toys at the Kinkery, thekinkery.com. But that's not where we started. That doesn't mean even now we won't use a pervertible. For a brief moment in time, JB's Wartenberg wheel was left at another location, and it took us a while to get it back. And he's not above using a fork or using the prong things like on your barbecue grill to come. I mean, if it's sharp and he knows he won't
sharp,
cut me with
sharp
it.
Sharp and pointy.
He's going to use it even now. So that's a thing to kind of keep in mind about pervertibles. You know? And if you don't have a lot of ideas, then let the internet guide you. Mm-hmm. That being said, if you are watching or listening to this near the time that it has been published, which is like mid-ish March, kind of, Pink Kink Podcast, our friend Rara, has a class, an online class about pervertibles, mm-hmm, March 28th. The link will be in the places if you are interested. Check out the information, see if it's something that will suit you. We love Rara. She does good work. Yeah. So yeah, if you're like, ooh, I'm into this idea of pervertibles, but I don't know where to start, check out her class March 28th. But yeah, I mean, the things that this person listed in their specific question, yeah, it all sounds just fine. Mm-hmm. You just, in the doing of it and in the process, you still need to be mindful of risk factors.
Right.
Some of which you might not know until you get into the play. If that is not a really sturdy chair and your partner is bound to it and they thrash, just know the chair might come apart. the yoga mat, make sure it's not going to slip everywhere. Things like that. Just be aware. And you can't, it's a little bit harder to plan for risk factors in pervertibles if it's not like a common one, because you kind of don't know what might happen once you start interacting with this non-kink item. But yeah, it's fine. Let your imagination go wild. Always take like a beat and think through how you plan on using it and test it out on yourself and or a partner if you can, to make sure it's not going to cause, you know, sensations they don't want to feel. But yeah, just go for it. I promise you, once you get into the world of pervertibles, trips to any store
become a lot more fun.
They take on all new meaning when you do that. So yeah, enjoy perverting whatever you have in your house. Get your kink on without spending a lot of money, for sure.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to this week's Q&A episode. If you want us to answer one of your questions, just use the contact page on our website at lovingbdsm.net, or you can find the link in the show notes. Big thanks, as always, to our kinky community over on Patreon. We're able to do this podcast and keep it going and help kinksters due to your support. If you'd like to be part of our community and get access to extra content and a Discord server with a group of super cool, super nice kinksters, you can do that. Just join us at patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes.